Hello, this is Dr. Dave, and you're listening to the Knowledge Share Conversation, hosted at grokshare.com. This is episode number 4, and the discussion today focuses on delivering industrial automation software with the Scaled Agile Framework, also known as SAFe, and enterprise adoption with Pankaj Swamy. Pankaj is an Agile leader and SAFe program consultant, SPC, at a global software company. SAFe has become the de facto standard for Agile at scale that supports enterprise adoption of agility as a business practice. The SAFe framework offers familiar terms that bridge the gap for organizations adopting the lean and agile paradigm for product or service delivery. Business leaders and teams are familiar with organization definitions of portfolio, program, and team, which make it easier to embrace SAFe. Nonetheless, the adoption of SAFe requires a culture shift in the enterprise because all stakeholders involved with developing and delivering a product or service must be present. The goal of end-to-end alignment demands leadership engagement. Pankaj, thank you for taking some time to hang out with our audience. Why don't you tell the audience a little about yourself?
Sure. My name is Pankaj Swamy, and I've been in software development for about 17 years now. I've had, for the last 8 or 9 years, had very good experience with various stages of Agile adoption. In my previous organization, I was part of the team that implemented Agile practices across the organization. And in my current organization, I was hired for my relative experience on scaling Agile. And for the last three and a half years, our organization has been trying to adopt the Scaled Agile Framework by Dean Leffingwell. And that excites me a lot. There's a lot of potential. And that's an area where, you know, I'm very passionate about. And I'm passionate about helping teams learn the benefits of lean and agile development.
Excellent. Talk about your experience with SAFe so far.
Sure. So like I mentioned, roughly between three and a half years, we've been trying to implement different various stages of SAFe. Started about 3.5 years ago, we actually had the privilege of having Dean Leffingwell come to our location here and give us an overview of Scaled Agile Framework. Prior to that, what we were doing, we had large, 60 to 70 people organization working on what we called projects. We had between 15 and 20 people here in California, and we had about 40, 45 people with an outsourced partner in India. And we were struggling with how to scale Agile across dispersed, distributed, and large teams. And that's when some of the key, some of the leaders in our organization were exposed to Scaled Agile Framework. And that was the motivation behind trying that paradigm. And what we, since then, we have tried and executed three major releases using Scaled Agile Framework. And we see a significant value for our organization and for our customers since we have adopted that framework.
Awesome. So you would say, tell us more about how is SAFe helping your Agile at scale adoption?
Sure. So the first thing that it has helped us in is, as part of our initial implementation, it kind of encouraged our portfolio and product management to think about the business value and the release trains, come up with the value streams and identify what release trains we actually want to work on. We were able to create product offerings based on those release trains, and then we started doing those PSI planning events across various product offerings. So we started doing planning at scale, which is something we were missing earlier. What I mean by that is that we were able to get not only the development team, but also members of the product management, program management, project management, common architecture, and other stakeholders all together for a period of 2 to 3 days to help plan out the work for next 3 month increment. So that was one of the key advantages of moving to Scaled Agile Framework.
Okay. So if you want to think about a few value that the organization received based on your SAFe adoption, let's say you pick your top three. What was the top three values that you think that you received or value?
The first one I would say is the release planning event, because it helps get all stakeholders together in a short duration of 2 to 3 days and thinking, reviewing, estimating, elaborating the features that are planned for a short duration. We are no longer planning for 9 months, 12 months. We are planning for what we want to accomplish in the next 3 months, and having all of that brain share co-located, available with easy access to get clarifications around the details of the features has been one of the key values provided by Scaled Agile. The second has been how we've been able to scale up our Agile teams. We call this the Scrum of Scrums model internally, but basically what that means is that across, we have distributed teams. So within California, we were able to create completely independent, co-located Scrum teams with proxy product owners, with dedicated Scrum masters. And then we were able to mirror that same structure with our offshore distributed teams. And then we came up with this Scrum of Scrums concept where for a particular subsystem, we had a Scrum team based here in California, we had one Scrum team in India, and then they would do a Scrum of Scrums around any dependencies. But we were able to establish, for a short duration of time, we were able to establish completely independent, co-located Scrum teams. And we were able to do that because of the precepts identified by the Scaled Agile framework.
So your teams, are they receiving value from the PI planning or release planning event every 3 months? Are they getting value out of it?
So it's not a very clear-cut answer. I think in the initial stages, the team was getting a lot of value out of those. I'm afraid to say that as we have continued to do these planning events at the predefined cadence, one of the issues that the team has observed is, for better or for worse, the timing of our planning events is not suitable for complete planning. Due to multiple logistical reasons, we've started having the planning events almost 3 weeks or sometimes 4 weeks before the next PSI begins. And one of the challenges with that is that it doesn't take into account any carryover work or things that might change within the last month. In general, I would say that this team still get good value out of the planning events. In the true spirit of Agile and Lean development, we, as a team, continue to identify ways we can do it better.
Excellent. But quality is one key thing that we look at in as building quality into what we produce as software developers or even a product team. Mm-hmm. Based on your experience, how has quality improved?
That's a very good question. That was going to be the third value that I would bring up that we have seen as a result of adopting SAFe. Prior to doing SAFe, our projects typically run 12 to 15 months in duration. We were doing 3 weeks, sometimes we started with 4 weeks, then we moved to 3 weeks, and then we were doing 2 week sprints. But a lot of our integration and system testing was still accumulated around the end of the project execution. So one of the true values we saw after we embraced SAFe was around each PSI boundary, we started doing some targeted integration, targeted regression, and targeted system testing with customer applications. And that has helped us strive towards, make incremental improvements towards our goal of having potentially shippable increments every 3 months, as opposed to, even though we are doing sprints for 8 months, and then we start doing integration testing, and sometimes we would find issues that would require changes to design or architecture. With Scaled Agile framework, because of the framework where it says you do two week sprints, and then every 3 months you have a potentially shippable increment, and that increment has, you know, the level of quality that the business may choose to release. And then we have the process where if the business decides to ship that PSI, then we have to do some additional validation and release activities. But in terms of quality, that's the true value that we are seeing.
Okay, so you're referring to like deliver on cadence and release on demand, that
exactly.
Kind of principle.
Correct. And we, you know, one of the other things that fed into this was we created the release team, which is one of the concepts identified by the Scaled Agile framework. And that release team is responsible for ensuring that all the products within our suite continue to play well with each other around PSI boundaries, so we don't find any surprises after 6 or 9 months.
Excellent. Now that you have dispersed teams, how do you keep them focused and aligned with the features in your backlog?
So that has been an ongoing challenge for our teams. The way we make it work right now is we have weekly backlog grooming meetings where members of the California and the India team attend that together. Because of the time differences, we alternate between having the meeting slightly early in the morning, California time, and when daylight saving kicks in, we have it later in the evening, California time. It's a weekly meeting. But during that meeting, we have members of both California and India team together. And as a group, we review the user stories that we are currently working on, and we refer back to the features that the team had plan to do in that feature. In addition to that, we have the sprint demo at the end of every 2 weeks where we review with our stakeholders. We make sure we tie back all the work that we're doing against the features that the stakeholders had prioritized for us. And the third thing that we do is what we call a program review here in our organization, where every month we review the progress with our executive stakeholders.
So your program review is more like a mini inspect and adapt meeting.
That is correct. So that's like a mini inspect and adapt meeting. We, instead of having it around a PSI boundary, we have it around a boundary of every two sprints. That gives us an opportunity to review the progress that the team has made. It also gives us an opportunity to bring up any risks, mitigations, any exceptions with our stakeholders that might need their help or direction in making, in removing those impediments.
So who typically attends these program reviews?
So the program reviews, the audience, the team presents the program reviews. So when I say the team, so the development team, the product managers, the program managers, the release train engineers, or the project managers as they were called previously. So this is the team that presents. The intended audience is the vice president of software development and our LOB head, members of GCS, which is global customer support, members of the common architecture team. So this is our opportunity to present incremental progress at the end of every two sprints, and an opportunity for the stakeholders to ask questions, clarifying any doubts that the team has, or making sure that we are still tracking towards the goals that we had agreed upon.
Okay. When you think of SAFe, what challenges do you currently face or you anticipate you will face as you begin to mature in your transformation in Agile at scale?
A couple of challenges, and we actually recently did an inspect and adapt, and some of these came up. One is, since we started our implementation, we haven't gone back to the drawing board and assessed our value streams and release trains, because the value has changed over the period of 3 years. So I would encourage other organizations that are evaluating moving to SAFe to make sure that there is some checkpoints identified where we go back after maybe 3-4 PSIs and make sure that we are still mapping to the right value streams. The other challenge is continues to be managing distributed teams across multiple time zones. So we kind of get a hang of how to manage when one team is in California and the other is in India. But recently, we've added other products to our portfolio where I have a team now based in Melbourne, I have a team based in China, and it makes the coordination difficult unless each team, each geographical location has a completely independent, co-located Scrum team with a proxy product owner and a Scrum Master. We have seen where we are able to create teams with these roles, the success has been higher, and where we have not been able to identify these roles, chances of success have gone down and we've had some impediments in getting a predictable velocity.
Any final thoughts do you want to share with our listeners?
The final thoughts I have is, if any of the listeners have been using Lean and Agile principles and are thinking of adopting Scaled Agile framework, it's a very good framework. It has definitely helped a large organization like ours get more predictability in estimating. The other great advantage is that, you know, around every 3 month or whatever the increment the organization may decide, we have the potential of getting customer feedback of a fully functional, fully tested, stable product builds. And I mean, for my last two big organizations, that had been a challenge. So this is definitely a great improvement. The only thing I would caution is, don't take the implementation very literally. The framework, because it's called a framework for that reason, the framework identifies certain roles that are recommended. And each organization has to take a pragmatic view at it and say, okay, you know what, within our organizations, maybe a product manager is playing the role of a portfolio manager, maybe a program manager is playing the role of a product owner, but have clear understanding of how the roles defined in SAFe map to the roles within your organization. Having that clarity will greatly help in ensuring success of the implementation.
So do you have like a Twitter handle if people wanted to like send you questions that you want to share with our audience at this time?
I don't have a Twitter handle, but they can look me up on LinkedIn and they can contact me through LinkedIn. My LinkedIn profile is under my name, Pankaj Swamy. I'd be more than happy to answer any questions. I got the opportunity to attend the Scale Agile Framework Certified Practitioner Consultant Training in July. So I'm certified now, so I can help provide more details if anybody's interested. And I'm part of the LinkedIn group with a lot of other very scaled Agile framework practitioners. So there are a lot of resources out there. And the best thing to do is to take a small pilot project, start implementing it, demonstrate the value that it brings to your organization, and other groups will automatically gravitate towards it.
One more question for you before we go. Mm-hmm. Fun, excitement, what are some of the fun things that you do in your life?
Oh, outside of work, I like to run. I've been running for the last four and a half years. I'm training for the Beach Cities Challenge. I did the OC Half Marathon in May. I just finished the Long Beach Half Marathon in October, and I'm hoping to complete the Surf City Marathon in February. I also practice martial arts with my two boys. I'm learning Taekwondo with them. And I just like exercising, music, spending time with family. Active with scouting. Both my kids are, my younger one is a Cub Scout, the older one is a Boy Scout, so we are active in that community too.
Well, excellent. So thank you so much for your time, Pankaj.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
I am currently a practicing SAFE SBC and work with Pankaj Swamy for the past year on a major software initiative. My commentary is based on practical experiences of success and the need for improvement in some areas. Agile transformations are not easy because people are expected to shift behaviors and work toward common goals. The biggest hurdle is often due to resistance to change from the status quo. However, buy-in at the executive level tend to sway the attitudes of many resistors and pave the road to an easier agile transformation. Thank you for listening today. Look for the Knoll Share podcast on iTunes, KNOLSHARE. The Knoll Share podcast is hosted on grokshare.com. Pankaj Swamy can be found on LinkedIn. If you have any questions for Dr. Dave, reach out on Twitter at Dr. Dave Info or at Knoll Share.
You grok share?
I grok it and I'll share. Every day, every day. Until next time, pursue goodness, share, and learn.